It's great to have everybody here this morning. I just want to thank you all so much for giving the Haiti team the opportunity to share with you today. It's really just wonderful that we have this chance on a Sunday morning. Wow. We have some media that we're going to be showing, just a few pictures as we go along. So thanks, Linda, for doing that. So I'm Neil Green. If you don't know me, I'm the worship pastor here, and I've gone to Haiti 4 times. It's been such a blessing. And it's my privilege to introduce our time this morning into our Haiti sharing time. So I'm glad to do that. I just want to give a really quick summary of the trip. Two other points, and I'm getting out of the way really quick to let some of our people share what God did and what He's still doing. So 11 people, 10 from Ballardsville and 1 from Campbellsville University left on July 29th, and one of these pictures is of our group, so I want to try to bring that up. There they are, perfect. So that's a picture of us before we left. And we drove to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Wow, what a drive it was in our church van. What a blessing to have that. So it was long, it was like 20 hours through the night, just in time to get there and fly from Fort Lauderdale to Haiti. It was actually, like, it's geographically further away from Kentucky to Fort Lauderdale than from Fort Lauderdale to Haiti, actually. And we drove that. And we spent 7 or 8 days or so, about a Saturday through Saturday, doing ministry. And what we got to do while we were there was go up into the mountains out of Port-au-Prince, the capital, about 2 hours or so out of the city, into the beautiful wilderness, rural areas, into a place on a mountain pass called Calabas. And it's just really way out there, and it's so beautiful. You can see in 360 degrees, just mountains all around you. And if you look far enough, you can even see the Dominican Republic over to the east. We got to spend time with a wonderful just community of people in Calabas. And we got to work on several things during the course of the week, organized mainly by our organization that we went with, A Door to Hope, and the churches. And I'll share a little bit more about A Door to Hope in a second. But we got to participate in several things. First was Vacation Bible School. We had about 100 children over the course of 2 days. And we taught them Bible lessons and did recreation and shared the gospel. At the end of the 2 days, we got to distribute rice and beans to all of those kids and their families that came to VBS. It was a tremendous blessing to do that, to see sharing the physical love of Christ just totally one-to-one, just on that basis. It was incredible. We also got to participate in building a small home for a woman, a single mother that lives in Calabas. We got to participate in just blessing her, spending time with her and the people around them, those that were building the house. We had a few on our team that got to build a bunk bed or a set of bunk beds at the lodge where we stayed. So there was that project as well. We got to help organize and organize and reset the sort of depot or collection of resources for the organization that we went with, which was where we stayed as well. So just getting things out, relabeling, putting it back together in a way that makes sense for their future ministry. We got to do really cool. The final big day of ministry is what was called immersion and prayer walking, which is where we split up into smaller teams of 2 to 4 people. We would spend a morning with a family or members of a family, washing their clothes and helping them make lunch, and mainly asking questions and then receiving back their questions and having just a great dialogue through a translator. In the afternoon, those same smaller teams, we went out into the community, down every single road we could go down, and did prayer walking. And we just went from house to house, and we would approach them, and they would usually invite us into their house, and these teams would ask what the prayer requests that they had were, and we would voice a prayer with them, and then we would kind of move on to the next place, hitting lots of homes in just a period of like an hour and a half or 2 hours. So after that, we had a leisure day, and then on the weekend, we kind of hit the surprise, the big, are you flexible, are you willing moment of this trip. You always have those, but this was a sort of a national political moment, actually, for the country, where a decision to raise gas prices incited, raised gas prices extremely, incited many of the residents of Haiti to respond in a sort of ugly way with protests and rioting. And that actually delayed our return and about a day and a half. And so we were forced to stay at our lodge up there in the mountains and wait it out. The Lord provided our way to get back to the airport and amazingly to make it home on Sunday afternoon instead of Saturday morning as we planned. Our whole team was just great through that. And we made it. And the Lord was good. So we want to thank you all for praying for us before the trip, during the trip, and even now as we reflect on it. We want to thank you for your financial support, even over and above the World Missions Fund. Our church has, in some cases, people have just donated so generously to help members of the trip to go. We thank you for communicating with us, sending us letters, and just talking with us and messages of support and encouragement. And that means a great deal. We feel that. And the Lord worked through you. Just to expand on that financial part, I want to just draw your attention, as you have before, to the World Missions Fund. We really highlight that during this time, and as a time to pray and think and ask the Lord to speak to us concerning this coming year. Because so many opportunities to go on mission here in Oldham County and all around the world are made possible by you all and what the Lord does through you to give to the World Missions Fund. So it's just so vital, and we thank you for being a part, investing in that part of our church. And for those that you're going to hear from on our trip, and all the members of the church who went, we could not have done our trip without you guys. You have to know that in that way, you were totally crucial to us being able to go. And for those that will go in the future. I would encourage you all to consider going on a trip, because there's nothing like it. It truly opens up your mind and your eyes to what God is doing across the world in a way that you can't just by seeing a slideshow or a video or hearing someone else express it. You just can't experience it the same way. I want to invite all of you to pray and think about doing something here or in this region or around the world. Go for God's glory and for your own good through it, for His glory and for what He'll do in your life. And then just wanted to share a bit about A Door to Hope and what I think makes them so strong. We have a picture of their logo. A Door to Hope was founded by Brent Gambrell, and there's a picture of him next, I think. Brent is just a dynamic, powerful, totally engaging personality with an amazing testimony of God bringing him back to faith, and then of a couple decades of ministry since then. So we met Brent, not me, but our youth group met Brent at Crossings Camp in Western Kentucky more than 10 years ago as their camp preacher. And then a few years later at another summer camp, he shared with all the students that God had called him to work in Haiti, and our youth group kind of decided we would like to go. That's what led to the 2010 trip. And man, what God has done in our church since then. How many people, I can't even number how many have been able to go and experience it. And we even have Fedner Faustin serving in our church because of God bringing him together in a special way with one person who went to Haiti. But anyway, Brent's ministry is special. A Door to Hope is special because they really try to find local churches and pastors that can tell them what their needs are and then just unleash them to go serve. And I just can't express how many ways I've seen the communities that we've been to, individuals be able to get some help from A Door to Hope in some way, and then they just grow through that and reach their own community. What's going on in Calabas is amazing because people from that town are growing up in faith and are reaching their own place. And it's just the gospel goes from little to big, and it's really amazing. And that's really where Brent is at. He wants to connect with local churches. I just want to stress that to us. It's really important. He finds pastors who know their people and know what they need, and he plugs us in to just be on the ground and help. Let me just say a prayer, and I'll let Jason begin the testimonies about the trip. Lord, we thank you so much for your glory and your kindness, and you're making us aware of yourself and not stopping there, but forgiving us and bring us in a relationship with you and calling us to know you and then to help bring others to know you all across this world. Thank you that you love every last soul. You'd leave the 99 to get the one, and they're all across the world. And we thank you that you want them to know your glory and know your love, know your Son Jesus. I thank you for those that are going to share today. Please bless all of us and bless them in a special way. Help us to just hear, to know how you are working, and you will continue to work. In your Son's name I pray. Amen.
So, I got voluntold to go first. I'm going to raise that up just a little bit so I can see my notes. So how many of you have gone outside of the country on a mission trip? Awesome. That means the rest of you have not, and that's okay. I was with you all just a few months back. A year ago, I was definitely with you all, not really wanting to go. There was parts of me that, you know what, I had that old saying of, there's so much work here to do right here. There's so much that needs to be done right here at home. But was I doing it? Was I living the gospel message in sharing and going and doing what Christ called me to do? Neil mentioned Jesus left the 99 for the one. I was that one. You were that one. If you don't know Jesus like I know, you're still that one, and he's looking for you. So if you get nothing else from anything that I say, remember that. He loves you so much. I love you. Moi remeu. Did I say it right? I love you. Jesus remeu. I learned that as well while I was in Haiti. It means Jesus loves you. He loves you so much. So to say that I had apprehension about going, I tried to find every reason under the sun to not go to Haiti. My wife was sold. She was going. And I said, no, I've got this going on. I'm not physically fit enough to go. And they said, don't worry about it. We'll take care of you. I said, God, I've got this CPAP machine. I've got sleep apnea. If I don't have electricity, I won't be able to sleep. And then, you know, literally, I could die. And Neil says, oh, I found out. They got electricity. You're good. So I was totally out of excuses. I had nothing else. And every time we would come to Sunday school and somebody would mention going to Haiti, I'd pick up my phone and see Facebook, and something would be about the mission's need, either in Haiti or Honduras or somebody else that was going on a trip or sharing memories from their trip. And it was like God was just pounding me saying, what are you worried about? I've already told you, I'll take care of you. Every one of your fears, I've already given you an answer for. Go, go. So I went. When I got there, I was absolutely consumed with the beauty of the place. It was hot, but so was Kentucky. When we looked at the weather, it was hotter here than where we were at in Haiti that week. Believe it or not, right there off the equator, it was hotter here than it was there. The mountains were amazing. The people, oh my goodness, the people. You get in there and you meet people that we say the Lord's Prayer. We teach our kids the Lord's Prayer. Bronson has taught the youth the Lord's Prayer. We say, Lord, give us our daily bread. And when they say that, they mean it. It is vital to them. We just happened to get there at the tail end of a big, long drought. Most of the people there work in, especially up in the mountains, work in agriculture. They grow food. They take it down to the market and sell. With that drought, just the ends and the tips of all of their crops were burning. They were not pretty, basically. They were still good to eat. You could still eat them. They wouldn't hurt you. But people wouldn't buy them down in the markets. So the fact that the first thing we got to do when we were there was go and teach kids about Jesus through VBS, but we got to give away that rice and beans to feed a family for a month. And not just one family, but the more I learned about these people up in these mountains in the middle of nowhere in Haiti, if you blessed one, they were going to bless everybody around them. So just being able to be there to see that, the joy on these kids' faces, giving them this rice and the beans, and then to see their parents come in to help them carry, or their, you know, cousin or aunt or uncle, and see these kids putting this giant bag of rice on their head, little bitty kids, younger than my daughter Annabelle, with this giant bag of rice on her head and a bag of beans, carrying it up the road. Who knows how many miles to go that we had a hand in that. I say we had a hand in that. God had a hand in that. My job, and I cried so much while I was there. My job during the rice distribution, man, some of the others got to hand them the rice. Some of them got to high-five them with the rice. Some of them got to take their picture with the rice. My job was to stand at the door, and I had to keep those that were not there to get rice from storming in. And I had to tell people no. And it still hurts to see the look on these kids' faces. But all I can do is say a prayer and turn it over to God and let Him know my concern, that our concern, that those people that did get the rice, we're gonna bless those people. And if not, they know where it's coming from. It's not coming from us. It's not coming from A Door to Hope. It's not coming from anybody, but it's coming from God. So, the VBS was awesome. It was amazing. Probably one of my favorite times was during game time. We had to demonstrate the games that we were going to play with these kids. And one of the games was it snake? Some kind of a snake game. I hate snakes with a passion. But everybody would line up back to front, and whoever was in the back had to crawl between everybody's legs. And so we had to demonstrate this. So I made sure I was at the front so that I didn't have to do this. And it got to me, and I'm like, no, I'm good. And everybody's like, go, go. And I'm like, no, no, no. And they're like, go. So when I dove, the place erupted. I've never had that much applause or cheers from members of the team, from the kids, from the staff. Brent about fell over laughing at me. And so when we did it the next day, I had to do it again. But it was amazing. At the tail end of the VBS, and I don't want to take any of Bronson's thunder, but he shared the three circles Tony shared with us. And to see him take the message that we've had and go and share that there and explain it to their pastor so that he can share it. And no doubt, it's an excellent message that he's going to be able to share that more and more and more. Just to show where we're at. To show where God's love is. It's with us. There we go. The last thing I want to mention was Elmond. Elmo is what he went by. Somebody, I guess, couldn't pronounce or didn't hear his name was Elmond years ago, apparently, and they called him Elmo. And so he now introduces himself as Elmo. He lives right outside of the little orphanage that we stayed at. He's a chef down in the city, works at evenings and nights, and all week long he went to his job as a chef and then got up bright and early to go and be with us to drive us around. I hope he was getting paid for that. I assume he was getting paid for that. But it was amazing his willingness at the drop of a hat. Let's go. Come on, let's go. We'll get in the truck. Let's go. There was one of the days that I was feeling puny, believe it or not. Wasn't feeling very well, and we had walked down to the site where we were helping to build the house for the single mother and her family. And on the way back, I was struggling. I was out of water. Everything around us was hot, and it's just miserable. And we're driving along, and all of a sudden, he stops. I'm riding in the cab with him because they didn't put me in the back end, thank the Lord. And he stops, and I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm getting you a cold drink. And he got out and got me a cold drink. I made sure that I paid him, and I gave him an extra dollar so he could get him something too. But it was that kind of sacrifice that he saw that I was in need, and he stopped. And he was going to pay a dollar that he might not have or might not have to spend on me. It hits home so much. You see the love of Christ in little bitty ways in so many people, so far away, people that have no reason to like me. I mean, I'm likable, but they have no reason to like me. They have no reason to want to help me other than somebody helped them along the way and told them about Jesus. They told them about a Savior. They told them about forgiveness, about repentance. And it was amazing. And as Neil mentioned, the excitement of us leaving. Elmo had gone to work that evening, and in the I hate to say the riots, but in the riots, his way home was blocked that evening. He couldn't come home. And now he could have gone and found someplace safe and hid and stayed out of it all. But no, we needed help. So he stayed down there in the thick of it, walking around, blending in with his cell phone so that every so often he could sneak off and give a call back to Brent or back to somebody at the orphanage and say, hey, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. And he stayed up all night walking around in the thick of things, not because it was fun, not because he wanted to do that, but because he knew that we needed that help. Him and some of the others were an integral part of keeping Brent up to date with what's going on so that we could get out safely. And again, it was just a glaring message of, I'll leave the 99. I'll go out into the wilderness to find you and you and you because I love you. That's pretty much what I have to share. So if you haven't, if you're one of those that I said, have you been? Yes, amazing. Go again if you have a chance. If you haven't gone, talk to me. I'll tell you all the reasons why you can go. If it's financial, it'll get taken care of. If it's health, we'll find a way. It's an amazing opportunity. It's an amazing thing that has moved me in ways that has shown me so much about Matthew 28, about go, proclaim. All you have to do, be willing to share, have an open heart, love one another. Love somebody that you have no business to love, other than the fact that God said, I love you, you should love them too. Thank y'all.
I am not used to speaking with a microphone, so bear with me here. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Sarah Wallen. I am Jason's wife. I'm the one who pushed him into going on this trip a little bit. But I'm here to share with you about the blessed opportunity we had to go to Haiti. That was something God was working in my heart a year even before we went on this trip. I just kept praying to the Lord, and he just kept putting on my heart, get out of your comfort zone. And I thought about going to Honduras because I speak some Spanish, and then God's like, nope, get out of your comfort zone, go to Haiti. Haitian Creole, yeah, good luck. And I'm glad I did. It was a beautiful, beautiful trip. Got out of my comfort zone, was glad I went. The first night there, we had a devotion time every night with Brent. And that first night when he told us, he's like, pray to God to show us the one this week. And by that he meant, find that one person that you're going to connect with, that you're going to take home in your heart Of course, there were several people that I met that week that are still in my heart, but I wanted to share with you about a 12-year-old orphan that lives at House of Blessing, and her name is Christina. So we met her. Jason and Micah and I did dishes our first night there, and so Christina was on dishes duty that night. So she got to do dishes with us and show us silly Americans how they do dishes there. And she just was really, really, she spoke very good English and could joke in English, and she had sarcasm, and it was really entertaining. She talked 90 miles a minute, and we really enjoyed her. And so she was asking us questions and just things about where we're from and our experiences, and we asked her, well, what do you want to do? What sort of things do you want to see? And she's like, I want to go to Ohio. And we're like, okay. And she goes, I want to go to the U.S. to see Ohio and Canada. I'm like, you want to go to the U.S. to see Ohio and Canada? Okay, that's awesome. And we were really entertained by it. I loved hearing her hopes and dreams and the things that she wanted to do. And we were blessed during the trip to interact with the orphans. I loved staying at House of Blessings because we would be in the guest house and you'd see their little faces poking in through the window. Like, they wouldn't come in the guest house. That was kind of off limits to them. But if we wanted to go outside and play with them, we could. So they put their little faces in the window, sort of like, hey, come play with me. So we'd go out and play with the orphans or talk to them. They loved our cell phones, needless to say, and the app that we had to color and watch movies on. And so I got to spend some time with Christina through the week, on and off as we were coming and going, and she's I don't even have the words to tell you how much I enjoyed her. She is still a mischievous little kid. She is the light of Christ, though. And we got to, the very last night there, we sat together and we got to do our devotion with the kids at the orphanage. And Brent had us pray with the kids there. And so, of course, Christina happened to be with me, and I was asking her how I could pray for her. And she just started, like, rambling. She was talking about international politics and just all these things. She's so intelligent. And then she, along the way, she was saying, actually, Christina's not my real name. I'm like, well, then why do they call you Christina? She goes, well, the people at House of Blessing say they see Christ in me. And I was just like, wow, best nickname ever. I love that you're named Christina. And I'm like, I absolutely see that light in you, and I want you to hold on to that light in you and know that God is always there for you. Because Haiti is not an easy place to grow up in. She's certainly an orphan. Her mother is still alive but unable to take care of her. I learned that through our time asking for how we could pray for her. She asked us to pray for her mother. And so I'm asking you all to please pray for those that are still in Haiti, those that live there, those that have to grow up in that place, but also know that there's hope there. Those that have Jesus in their hearts there, you can certainly see the difference in their life and the way that they live it versus those that don't. That's the same here. But they have a little bit more challenging circumstances than we have in the United States. So I'm so thankful to have gone with A Door to Hope. I've got my Door to Hope shirt on today. That organization absolutely loves Haiti. Brent loves Haiti. And I just encourage you all, if God tells you to go, if he tells you to give, or if he tells you to pray, please do that. Don't do it just because you will be rewarded, but you will. You'll feel it in your heart. You definitely get blessed beyond measure when you do what the Lord has asked you to do. So thank you all.
If you all don't know me, my name is Abby. Obviously, I also got to go on the Haiti trip this summer. It was my first international mission trip. I've been to Texas and to Eastern Kentucky, building some roofs and decks and stuff like that. And let me start by saying I was really, really, really nervous for this trip. And it wasn't because we were going across international borders, and it wasn't because of the airplane, though that was a tiny bit of my fear. I might have cried a little bit on the way up. But I was mostly nervous because I was afraid that God was going to call me to service overseas. I was afraid that he was going to want to use me for something larger than I had ever imagined, and that terrified me. I know that's really selfish, but that was my fear, and I'll kind of come back to that point later. But I'm going to kind of go over a little bit what Neil talked about that we did. Starting the week, we did two VBSs with two different groups of children. We went to the house and we helped move blocks and shovel gravel for like 7 hours. It was great. We got the chance to love on the children that were around that house that we were building and play soccer and rescue a soccer ball from a giant hole in the ground. We got to love on the children in the orphanage pretty much all day long that we were there and just see the love of Christ through them. On one of our last days, as we said, we got to each spend some time with a family and kind of get to see their day-to-day life and how they do things and how we can definitely not wash clothes like them. We went and prayed over people's homes and for their homes and learned kind of what God was doing in their life. And that was kind of one of the moments that really touched me, because we would say, well, how has God blessed you? And their house may be falling down, rain may be coming, leaking into the roof, and they'll just tell you all of these things that God has blessed them with and how thankful and blessed that they are. So at the beginning of the week, I was really ready to go. I was pumped. I had all this energy. And I think I had so much that I thought I began to rely on myself. I forgot to ask God to fill me with what he wanted and what his plans were for me. And as the week went on, I noticed pretty quickly that that was what was happening. I started to get really exhausted and just my strength was running out. There was nothing in the bottom of my bucket that I was trying to get out. I was exhausted emotionally, spiritually, physically, anything. And that was when I saw that I had really forgotten to rely on the Lord. I'm going to read Romans 3, 10 through 12, and it says, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." And here I was in Haiti trying to serve and love and share Christ, and I wasn't even relying on my Savior. I had turned away. And as that voice pointed out, none is good. I was not good. The work I was doing was not good if it was coming from me. The only good in me is Christ. And even the Haitian people, they were relying on God even through all of these awful circumstances that I cannot even imagine going through. I remember we were shoveling the gravel for 7 hours, as I said, and I was tired and I had blisters and there was sweat running down. And at that moment, I prayed to God and I asked him to help me rely on him. I asked him to take my strength and help me rely on his alone. I learned the power of prayer too that day because God answered me as he always does. He provided the strength and desire to go on through the week, and my own power was never going to be enough. The rest of the day and the week was still tiring, but I could rest in the power of knowing that it was coming from God and it was not coming from me, thank the Lord. coming back from Haiti, this lesson of relying on God through prayer has only grown. I got married less than a month from coming back and started the hardest semester of college that I've had yet. I found myself slipping back into trying to rely on my own strength, and I'd be exhausted and burned out, and I'd be trying to again pull from the bottom of my barrel, and then I'd remember to stop and pray, and I'd remember the lessons that I learned in Haiti, and I'd see my strength come from the Lord again, relying on him for motivation and just anything to get me through my life. So now back to my fear of God calling me to serve. As usual, he did. I fell in love with the people in Haiti and the country and just their joy for the Lord and how much they really relied on him. So I'm learning that this trip will certainly not be my last, and I will definitely be going again. I'm learning to serve Haiti from here. I'm praying for them daily. I've got an opportunity to help one of our translators, Schneider, start a website for his organization that he has there. He goes up further into the mountains where there's not a lot of missionaries going there. And I've gotten to help start a website for that and then provide some supplies for VBS that he did up in the mountains like a week after we left. Serving as God has called me and relying on them has to be my life, and it has to be yours too. I pray that you all would feel convicted today in your hearts to serve in whatever way that may look for you, but I pray that God would convict you to go, to just go and serve anywhere, because the Lord is working everywhere. He was working in Haiti in ways that I didn't know that I was expecting to see. I want to thank you all for your support and your prayers and your thoughts. They really got us through Haiti when we were stuck and when we didn't know what was going to happen. I had a peace through that because I was relying on the Lord and I knew that people were praying for us. So thank you.
I think the highlight for me of this trip was the VBS. There's so many funny moments, moving things, but the VBS was just a huge blessing in my life. And VBS was titled, if I remember it correctly, Kimun Uye. And it means who, it was asking this question, who are you? And when, at least for, during the teaching time with myself and the translator, we would have the kids come in and sit down, and they were more behaved than I think I've ever seen students, ever. Because this was in like a real school, and the way the kids were behaving was amazing, to say the least. But we'd go around and say, Kimun Uye. And we'd ask them, they'd introduce themselves, and it was very short. But then we went into this lesson about how we are created in God's image. That was sort of, there was probably an overarching theme of us being valuable in the eyes of the Lord. And we talked about that with these kids. And so I want to ask you that today. Kimun Uye, who are you? And, you know, who are you? What is your identity? Who are you? Is your identity in Christ? Is your identity in your job? You know, your possessions, how much money you make, things like that. That was really challenging for me when I was in Haiti. I think VBS was the biggest mover for me. It was so impactful for me because it was so simple. Like a bag of rice, a bag of beans, and a game where Jason is crawling under someone else's legs, and these kids are just on top of the world. And it wasn't difficult. It was just honestly, there was difficult parts. I mean, there's getting down to Haiti was probably the most difficult part. But once we were there, the VBS, I mean, wasn't that difficult. We sort of taught Sunday school lesson like you would almost here. We played games with kids like you would here. I just wrote a couple of reflections. It's outreach isn't very hard. It takes an afternoon. It takes money. It takes intentionality. It takes getting outside your comfort zone. It takes more than just being nice. It takes sharing the simple good news of Jesus. And so it's so easy for me to plan my week, my month, my semester, my year, thinking about myself, my goals, what grades I want to get, what people I want to spend time with, how, you know, in context of work, how I want the ministry to grow, Lord willing. It can be a challenge sometimes to have that filter, to really think before all of that, where is the Lord leading me? Who does He want me reaching out to in my community? Who does He want me to share the simple message of the gospel with? And so I want to share a picture with you guys as sort of a transition to where we're going today. It's the picture of us all dirty. As we left Calabas on Sunday morning, we left, I think, at 5 in the morning. We drove through all sorts of smoke, and things were just sort of smoldering. It wasn't really fire. But when we got to the airport, we were filthy. We were clean. Like, we had showered the night before. We slept in very clean beds. And this was us after our 45-minute ride. I want to say 45 minutes. Go to the next picture. That was me. That was me in the airport. Next. The next one's my favorite, though. Like, that's the before and after picture, if you're looking for the before and after picture. And that was simply us just sitting in the back of a truck. And, I mean, we were breathing in that. God help Dave Woods' lungs. He was recovering up until a month ago, I think, from that trip to the airport. In that moment, when we got to the airport, we went to the bathrooms, and everyone with wet wipes, you know, was the best person on the team. So we pulled out our wet wipes. We went to the bathroom. We started wiping our faces down and our necks and our arms. And all of our clothes were soiled with soot, essentially. So some of us who had clean clothes, I had like half of a clean outfit. I was changing my clothes. We basically took, we did what we could with what we had to shower in the hotel bathroom, or not hotel, airport bathroom. And it struck me because we were in the bathroom and I was cleaning my face, and Jason, I remember, Jason was there, he was sort of behind me, he's like, all right, you just close your eyes, get your face wet, and I'll wipe you off. And it was this moment of realization, like, I cannot get myself clean. I am literally incapable of seeing even all the dirt on me, and I have to close my eyes to get some of the dirt off, because it's like on my eyelids. And there was this picture of the gospel and the church in that moment that hit me a couple minutes later, is that this is the body of Christ, a picture of the body of Christ. If the Bible was all we needed, then we wouldn't have to gather. You know, we could just stay home with our families and read the Bible, and we'd never have to gather or anything like that. And, you know, I'd have one less job, and Tony would have one less job, and life would be simpler in many ways. But that's not the way God has created us. He's created us to clean each other, to purify each other through our time of encouragement and fellowship and worship together before God. And that is burned in my head, that picture of the church being a place and a time where we come together and build each other up in Christ and get the filth of the week off us, if you want to take the analogy further. So, Jezi Remen U, Jesus loves you. Kimun Uye, who are you? Who are you today? Is Jesus your Lord, your Savior? Is your work where you find your identity, your money, your possessions? Kimun Uye. I want to just challenge you to find your identity in Christ, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, to serve Him in the community. We have the Lakewood Valley Outreach coming up. That's a great way. I'm looking forward to that. I hope that God will bless that half as much as He did our time in Haiti. And you'll hear a little bit more about that. But we're going to transition to the Lord's Supper right now. And I want to challenge you guys, just in the spirit of Kimun Uye, who are you? That the Lord's Supper is for those first who are followers of Jesus, for those who have repented of their sin and trusted in Him. And two, it's a time of remembrance. Jesus instructed His disciples, do this in remembrance of Me. And this is a remembrance of His being nailed to the cross and raising from the grave. It's a remembrance of His salvation in your life as a follower of Jesus. And I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to pray, and the men are going to come forward, and we're going to have a time during of the Lord's Supper. During that, I want to encourage you. It's not going to be, I want to encourage you to pray on what's been shared, how the Lord is ministering to you, and pray and take the Lord's Supper when you're ready. You'll have, it'll be distributed, and take it when you're ready. There'll be music playing, and just use that as a time for worship, whether that's, sitting down praying or singing with your hands up, however the Lord leads you. So I'm going to pray for us, and the men will come forward for the Lord's Supper. Father, You are the God of all the earth. You are the Lord of hosts. You are the beginning and the end. You are the God who sends. Father, you've called all of us to go somewhere, to share Your gospel. I just ask that this would be a time of reflection, that You would call people to share the simple message of Jesus and His salvation with those around them and around the world. In Jesus' name.